Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. He's Michael Wiseman. I am Brian Fritz. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, for listening, for downloading the podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play app, TuneIn app, wherever you may be listening to us. We appreciate it each and every week.
The Chicago Cubs World Championship app, is that one of the apps we got?
That is in the making. Or maybe it's just me going crazy on an app talking about the Cubs and just acting wildly. That could be a hell of an app, I think.
I'm surprised you're ready to host this podcast today. Ooh. After the wild night you had hanging out, celebrating the victory. It's amazing. You're still standing, dude.
I know. My wild night included, well, first of all, somebody actually hit me up on Twitter today at Brian Fritz, that is, and said, so how nerve-wracking was that game? And how much did you have to drink throughout the game? Because I figured you were probably like drunk very early. And yeah. I said, well, luckily, I'm not a big drinker and I don't keep any alcohol in the house. Now, about 15 minutes after the game ended, I did go around the corner to the local bar.
Wait, time out. Time out. Wait. You were watching the game from your house?
Yes.
What kind of madcap nonsense is this? What's going on?
It's called don't jinx anything because you're a Cubs fan. So I mean, there's a sports bar right around the corner from my place called Friendly Confines, and it's literally a Chicago Cubs sports bar. You know, it's Chicago. It's got that Chicago theme, but the big thing is the Cubs. That's why it's the Friendly Confines, which is the nickname for Wrigley Field.
So, and you didn't go there to watch the game? What is...
No, man. I'm worried about jinxing, you know? So I went over there, and it was already like 1 o'clock in the morning or so. And I got there, and there was a bunch of people leaving. And I thought, oh, man, they're closing the bar. And I walked in, and there was still a decent amount of people. And the bar was not closed, so I did get a drink. I made a quick video of me saluting the Cubs and nearly spilt the beer all over myself. And I took a picture of myself, and then I went around and I hugged some sweaty strangers and took a couple pictures with them and hung around for about an hour. And then came home and watched some of the post-game coverage. And next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I said, you know, I should probably get some sleep. And I closed my eyes, fell asleep. I opened my eyes, and I thought, oh, it's only been like an hour. And come to find out, it had already been 3 hours, and it was time for me to get up.
I feel like we need to we just need to stop the podcast and re-record all of that with a much better story. Because, listen, man, you've been waiting on that?
Yes. Oh, man, it was such a wild thing, man. Yeah. That game started, and I was already like 3 drinks deep, okay? Uh-huh. And then when the pitching changes happened, I mean, can you believe that Madden took Hendricks out after 4 2/3, all because he walked the guy and they brought in Lester? And then Chapman comes in the game, and the guy's already been worn out the last couple of games. And they
at
that point, I'm just like, what's this guy doing? The bottle of Jaeger sitting right there, and I wasn't even doing shots at this point, man. I was just taking big gulps. And then,
what about the other Cubby fans? You were around other Cubby fans, right? They were like, it was wild.
I mean, I had so many people over here. There was like a dozen people. And like the cleanup crew that's going to come by here today to clean up this mess, it's going to be crazy, you know? I mean, we all thought we had it, too. And then Chapman gave up 3 in the bottom of the 8th. And then what happened in the bottom of the 9th? They bring Chapman back out. We're like, what the hell is going on? You know? And
people started tossing your turned furniture over, right?
That one's up at the window. I got to get new furniture because it's all on fire between. Yeah. And, you know, all because they were pouring the wild turkey over it, you know, and throwing their lighters on it.
Wild turkey is some intense. Yeah, okay, man, that's better. I like it. We'll go with that version of the story.
It was nowhere near that intense, but it's funny because you go to the sports bar and like there's just all you. I walk in, I got my Cubs hat on, right, and there's all these people. I don't know a single person there, and they just see me come in, and I come walking over right to the bar, and people are just like, "Hey, man, just hugging you, you know, just everybody. Like, I had this one woman start hugging me. She just kind of, I was sitting there waiting for my drink, and she kind of looked at me, and I looked at her, and she was like, hey, and she just hugged me. And I'm like, her mom's there. This woman's got to be like in her 60s. And mom's about to get it. She's got a tear in her eye, and I can tell she wants a hug. So I hugged her, and yeah, man, it's
crazy. That's awesome. Yep, nice. It was.
It's kind of the reaction that you had when you went to the race recently and your boy Jimmy Johnson won.
I tell you what, it was probably the exact same. It was, as a non-baseball fan, right? I don't watch that much baseball. This series has been fantastic. And that game last night, you could not write a better story for how that game was led up to and how it played out if you were booking it as a pro wrestling event. You know, like, it just that late eighth hit that counted for two, and then going into overtime and the rain delay in the extra innings. What? So,
by the way, I want to send a special shout out to Mother Nature for that nice rain delay that she bestowed upon the Cubs to let them reset after they had given up three runs and the game was tied, and kind of let them get their act together and refocus. Yep. And they came back out in the 10th inning and they put together a nice little rally to get a couple of runs and held on to win the game. That was a nice assist there, Mother Nature. I appreciate that.
I'm telling you what, dude, it was not looking good. I was bottom of the ninth. I was hoping they could hold on to it.
Oh, man.
So.
Well, here's the other thing, too. I don't know, a lot of people talked about this, but so the Cubs won, and, you know, they had that brief amount of rain where they did have that rain delay. So there was a 17-minute delay, but they came out, they played, and the game ended. About 15 minutes after that, it started pouring. Nasty rain, thunderstorm, you know, lightning, all of that stuff was going on. And so they just missed that, because if that had come through, they would have had to delay the game until tonight.
That would have been crazy.
Till Thursday night. So, and then on top of that, they were really worried about the amount of violence that was going to happen with the Indian fans there being upset. And, like, are they going to overturn cars, or are they going to go after Cub fans? Because there's a ton of Cub fans there. And it's not to say that Cleveland fans are all of them are wild, crazy idiots, but they were worried about some, you know, outlash from some fans. But because the weather was so bad, they all were like, okay, let's get the hell out of here. And they went home very quickly.
Huh.
So. Huh. That was interesting. But Mother Assist does get a nice assist on that one. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mother Nature is looking out for the Cubbies.
Hey, it's only been 108 years, you know. So, you know, I'll say this real quickly. It was a hell of a series. I give a lot of credit to the Cleveland Indians. I feel bad for them because they have a class organization, and it was tough because it had been 68 years since they've won a championship. They came extremely close a couple of times in the 90s, including one time where they lost in extra innings to the Marlins, who I believe the Marlins even tied it up in the ninth, and they went on to beat them in extras. And and they had lost another one prior to that. I believe they lost like in 93 and 95. And they had really, really stacked teams. And their team this year was extremely good. And that was a hell of a series. And I was just fortunate enough that the team that I root for, the Cubs, came out on top. And it was one for the ages, man.
Yep. Yeah, I tell you, my favorite part of my favorite piece of internet trolling I've seen since the Cubs won was the fact that Amazon put Major League on a steep discount today. It's like $4 on Blu-ray. So I just thought that was appropriate. Charlie Sheen was there last night in his Major League gear, which was hilarious.
Yes, I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning ordering my World Series champion gear, which awesome. It's funny. They said like limited quantities, but I really was not worried about them running out of Cubs World Series stuff. I was like, they've got a few items, you know?
Yeah.
So by the way, for any of our listeners that are out there, if you really want to do me a solid, and I've reached out to a couple of other people as well. If you see some additions or can go get some, editions of the Chicago Tribune from Thursday, and it has the Cubs winning the World Series on the front on page one, and you also get the special edition of the newspaper, which came out Thursday afternoon, and you could get a couple extra copies of that, I would be eternally grateful. Mm-hmm. And if you are in the Chicago area and you can get access to that, please hit me up on Twitter or just email me at btrfritz@gmail.com. And I will find a way to hook you up with some goodies as well.
They'll pay you $100, cold hard cash, no taxes. Yeah.
Don't say that because it might be true. I'm telling you, man, like, people could probably really take advantage of me right now because I'm so happy.
You really? Okay. All right.
I mean, really take advantage of me right now.
See, I mean, so what you mean, just around the paper, or can I request other things?
Other things, man. It's just I was joking around last night on Twitter so much, and at one point I think I evolved to Brick Tamlin, and I just put in all caps, "I am so happy."
Oh, can you even? Are you even prepared to talk about wrestling? That's my question.
Barely. Did something happen this week in wrestling?
A couple of things. A few things have happened. Wrestling has gone on. Not on the shows, mind you.
Yes.
Not on Raw or SmackDown, but in the world of wrestling.
Well, let's go back to last Sunday. Let's talk about Hell in a Cell. So what was your impressions of Hell in the Cell?
The Hell in the Cell was a fine pay-per-view. Gotta, you know, tip my hat to, first off, congrats on WWE making the right call here and putting the women on last. The rivalry that meant the most. That match was pretty good. I'm just happy they went with it. I'm happy somebody convinced Vince McMahon in the back to do it. It was the right call for that show. So, but to break down the matches, I think Rusev versus your boy, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
How much you love him. That was a fine match. That was a Hell in a Cell match. And, you know, they both, there was a lot of good effort put into that match by both men. So I really enjoyed that. However, I hated the finish. The finish was not very good.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could say the same thing about the women's match, too.
No. But I think that opening match was a really good match.
Yeah, it was very good.
But the Superman Roman Reigns shtick doesn't work. It doesn't work in 2016. It didn't work in 2010 with John Cena, where he's basically beat within an inch of his life and he gets back up and wins the match. It's not the way you need to book somebody.
They still have a certain way that they look at Roman Reigns. It's obvious the audience does not see him in that same manner, but they are hell-bent on using him in that manner. I mean, and he's an extremely good performer. I will always say that. I know some people still don't give him credit for his wrestling matches. He has very, very good wrestling matches. The thing is just the other qualities that go around him that people will question. And a lot of it is that people just don't like him for whatever reason. And that's fine, you know, but WWE just refuses to shake on their stance from him and how they book him. And they're going to fight everybody tooth and nail. They just don't care at this point. They're like, we know what's best, and we're not going to let the crowd turn him. And they've really dug in their heels on this when it comes to how they use Roman. It's almost the way that, like, what they did with the women until at the last minute, like you said, Vince McMahon just decided, okay, we'll put the women on last. At that point, though, I almost wonder, was it too late? At that point, should they have really done it, you know, put the women on last? Because if you're going to put the women on last, shouldn't this have been something that had been promoted for more than a couple of hours during the day? The word got out there that that match was going on last. So it was like, if you were really into it and you're going to some different wrestling sites, you found out. But if they had announced that match was going on last and they had done it for a couple of weeks and they said, hey, history in the making, women, Hell in a Cell in the main event, you know, and really build it up into something, then it's got some extra panache to it. But instead, they put the women on last. I mean, I think it was the right decision. I wanted to see them on last, but I almost wonder at that point, because they're not building it up into something bigger like they could have, maybe they shouldn't have put them in that final spot.
So I agree they should have booked it and built it out longer. I think that would have given it more momentum, making it that history-making announcement. Yes, they're going on last. Not just Hell in a Cell, but they're going to main event for the first time ever. But I also think it wouldn't have changed very much, because the people it matters to most, you and me, the online wrestling community, the more hardcore fans who really pay attention to what goes on last, what goes on first, what's the pacing of the show, they found out about it. They were already in the loop because they were asking if it was going to happen. So I think the fact that they didn't announce it to the wider audience really didn't change the general audience's perception that much. So I don't know that I think it hurt it any. I think the finish of that match hurt it more than anything else.
You know, with the women's match too, there was a lot of talk about there being some other moves that were going to be used. There was going to be some other big risk taking that for whatever reason got kiboshed. And then, like you said, the other thing that really happened out of the blue was the finish. I mean, I don't think anybody thought Charlotte was going to win. I mean, Sasha, wasn't too long ago that she won the championship. They were in her hometown of Boston, which maybe that should have been the key that they weren't going to do it. But for whatever rhyme or reason, they said, we're going to have Charlotte win this match, and we're going to move on to have Charlotte now feud with Bayley, which we can all sit there and go, well, fantastic booking on Raw, having her lose to Nia Jax in a quick fashion as well. So there's a couple questionable things about how that all went down. I mean, the match between the women was good. I won't say it was great. There was a couple of things where the tables weren't exactly helping with them. And there was a couple of things that they were doing that had already been done in previous matches. So, and I think that hurt. And I think at that point it hurt that there had already been two cell matches. And they were the third one. And the luster starts coming off the more you see it, especially on the same night. And I really think that that affected, you know, their match. And then the finish came out of nowhere, and nobody thought that Charlotte was going to win, and there was no reaction to it at the end.
It was a terrible call. I think, you know, I agree with you, three cell matches is too many for one night, and WWE's going to do what they want to do with that. I think it took away from the main event. But yeah, that finish hurt the show, and I think it hurt the women's division as a whole, because it just seems like the Raw writing team is undecided with what they want to do. They go back and forth. They've taken the belt off of Sasha. They put it onto her. They call an audible and have her win it on a one-off episode of Monday Night Raw, kind of out of nowhere. And they've done these back and forth so much that, A, the women's title means less because nobody's holding on to it with any prestige. And B, again, you shot yourself in the foot to make a really cool moment and to tell a really good story. Sasha main eventing for the first time ever in a women's match, winning the title, or keeping the title, I should say, in her hometown. I don't get it. And the other thing is, when you're there in her hometown, they had shirts made up that were specific to Boston. You would have sold so much merchandise. There would have been such a positive buzz about that moment that extended beyond just that pay-per-view. And yet you just kind of brush it off and say, nah, we're going to pull the belt back off of her and have Charlotte move on. So
yeah,
that push and pull storytelling, it doesn't work. I get it. Sometimes we need to have some back and forth, like, you know, what's going to happen next. I like the ambiguous nature that wrestling can take on sometimes, but this show was not the place to do it. This main event was not the place to do it. And I think it hurt Sasha. It's going to hurt her in the long run. And I think it hurt the women's division as a whole.
And I also think that, and I understand why they did this, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, but I think Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens said, oh, we're not going on last? Okay, that's fine. That's a great opportunity for the women. Mm-hmm. We're going to show you why that's a mistake, though. And they went out there, and I think they had a better match. And Kevin Owens said just as much on Raw the next night when he was just like, you know, when he was talking about the match that he had, he said, in the main event. And he went out of his way to make that comment. And that was just a, hey, I'm the main event. This championship is the main event. We go on last. If you want to do that again, we're going to show you why we deserve it. I don't think it's a shot at the women necessarily. It's more of a, hey, that's a dig at us that you're not putting us on last. We're going to make you regret that decision.
Right. I mean, that's their prerogative. I love that nature, that we're going to go out there even if we're not in the main event and be the main event. I think that's a great attitude to have. So Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens definitely had a fantastic match. They had some really crazy spots with the tables. You know, the finish, even though it had some interference, I'm okay with it. But, you know, I still think the right call was made to end the show with the women's match. The right call was not made to finish that match, and it hurt the whole show. Because otherwise, there was just filler. You know, we had a couple of good matches, but the rest of the card was just filler. And going home on a sour note like that really killed the show.
And then we got Goldberg though on Monday.
Oh yeah,
Goldberg.
Yep. Yeah, he was tripping things up on Monday Night Raw.
Wow, look at you, man.
Wow.
I felt bad for him there. I really did. But you know what? It was so quick when he slipped and he went down. He got right back up. They were able to edit it off the replays. I mean, I don't think it really took anything away. I wasn't a big fan of him being there just because when he came back, that first appearance was so good. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he should be on in 2 weeks for the go-home show for Survivor Series. But they put him on here. He didn't really say anything. He got cut off by Paul Heyman. They did the little ruse thing where they acted like Lesnar was there. Instead, and then he got into an argument with Rusev. Gave him a jackhammer. I mean, he gave him some knees. He slipped. He got back up. He gave him a jackhammer. He speared Heyman. It's fine. It worked out.
I mean, it was a fine segment. Paul Heyman stole the show. He regained a lot of that heat that he had lost last week with the great Brock Lesnar's going to come out and fight you right now, and then it didn't happen. So I thought the segment was fine. I am a little bit worried about Goldberg. Let's just say I hope we're not setting ourselves up for a Canes and Walkers match. That would be...
Are you worried about his profusely sweating?
No, you know, that makes him harder for Brock Lesnar to grab. And also, Brock Lesnar's pretty sweaty too, so...
I'm hoping they keep lots of water bottles at ringside during that match for him and Lesnar. Because he hasn't done much physical action, and I understand. He hasn't been in the spotlight in a long time. Plus, he's wearing a decent amount of clothes. Like, he's got a long sleeve shirt, he's got a jacket on, and, you know, there's a lot of lights, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of excitement. And that dude looks like he's losing a gallon of sweat for every 5 minutes he's out there. And I'm just like, man, please get hydrated for this match, dude. And then he went on, I think it was a Booker T's podcast, and said that, there's some ring rust, but he's only coming back for the one match, so he's not spending like a lot of time in the ring. He hasn't even been in the ring yet training.
I thought he said he had been walking around the ring like for a little bit every day.
Well, maybe he has, but...
he said something about... Yeah, it was confusing, because he said he had only been in the ring twice, but then also he said he was spending some time walking around.
You know, I'm not really that worried about it, because he's a professional. He'll get it done. I mean, he'll get in the ring, and he'll do what's necessary. I mean, the dude is almost 50 years old, and he's still in fantastic shape. And he cares. I mean, he went on... He was a total pro when he was on ESPN SportsCenter this week, and then he did, like, a chat with ESPN... And he said, hey, nobody is more upset with themselves about slipping, you know, when, you know, in the ring against Rusev than myself. He goes, I'm a perfectionist. He goes, I'm kicking myself about that. I mean, the guy cares about, you know, putting out a good performance. And I think he'll be ready. I'm not saying this is going to be some unbelievable match that we're going to love and it's going to be so great. It's going to be rough. I mean, it flat out is. I mean, they've got to take out all the bells and whistles. I mean, it's got to be a street fight or whatever you want to call it. They can do whatever the hell they want. It's not going to necessarily be pretty. That doesn't mean it's not going to be effective. And I think it's more about
when was Goldberg's wrestling ever pretty?
That's a very good question. Yeah, I mean, it's always been rough. So, you know, you just hope that it's fine. You know, you hope the big thing for me is the build, the excitement for it, and get wrestling fans enthralled in this match, especially the people that don't watch your show on a week-to-week basis.
Right. You gotta develop some hype for this show, because otherwise Survivor Series has just next to nothing to hype it. Unless you really love 5-on-5 matches, unless you've been that person who watches the main event of Raw every week because you want to know who wins, Survivor Series is really hinging upon this match. And so... I don't know. I'm worried about it. I think Goldberg's in great shape. I don't think he's in great ring shape.
Probably not yet. And that definitely is a different kind of shape.
Yep.
So, and that's why I think, like, if you do one of those matches where you can do all those extra things, you could pace it better. It shouldn't be that long of a match anyway, but you can pace it a little bit better. Before I talk a little bit more about Raw, I have a question about Survivor Series.
Okay.
So right now they have 5 matches announced.
Okay.
And one of them they don't even have an opponent for, because they've got the different team matches, Lesnar and Goldberg, and then they've got Dolph Ziggler against somebody from the Raw roster for the IC title.
Okay.
How the hell are they going to fill up 4 hours?
Uh-huh. Those 5-on-5 matches are going to take at least 30 minutes apiece.
I mean, this is not a 3-hour pay-per-view. This is a 4-hour show.
Uh-huh.
How are they going to fill up 5 hours or 4 hours?
I do not understand. I guess what I don't understand is why you're going to extend the time and then take all of your content and stick it into these 5-on-5 matches. Why would you not still schedule yourself 2 world title matches on this show and a women's title match? Because that's going to fill up those hours a lot better than and then you can use the 5-on-5 matches to highlight younger talent. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, man. It's really weird. But it's not as weird as the match. We knew what was coming on Monday. You knew they were going to do something Halloween themed. Dear God, they did that freaking trick or treat fight match between Enzo and Luke Gallows. My wife was watching the show with me, or she was reading a book, and she saw me watching. She saw the look on my face.
Uh-huh.
I put it out there on Twitter, and I said to her, too, I go, within 10 minutes, one of these guys is going to be wearing a pumpkin on his head. It's probably going to be the big guy, which is Gallows. And guess what? He was wearing a pumpkin on his head. Not only was he wearing it, he had to hold the damn thing on his head so he could take a DDT off the top rope. I mean, he literally had to hold a pumpkin on his head because it kept slipping off so he could do this move. I mean, that was almost a kill the territory match.
Yeah, a kill the territory match.
My God. I was like, she saw the disdain in my face. And I was like, I'm really questioning why my wrestling fandom right now. It's stuff like this. I mean, I love wrestling and there's plenty of great stuff. It's just stuff like that that's just like, oh, my God, really? I mean, come on. Can't we move past this, man? This is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to use a pumpkin, find one good spot to do it and make it worthwhile and good. This was far from it.
Out of touch. It's the kind of thing that wrestling fans, I guess, are not as intelligent as Vince McMahon thinks they are. He's so out of touch that he books this kind of crap and expects people just to, you know, take it and like it.
God, it's so crazy, man. There's nothing you can do about the 3 hours, but it just felt like this was a show. It came after a pay-per-view. Our next pay-per-view is in 3 weeks. We'll do a couple of things to get you ready for Survivor Series, but let's just kind of get through this one. And, you know, come the end of the night, Seth Rollins came to save his old buddy Roman Reigns from a beatdown from Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. And it makes you believe that we could possibly have a Shield reunion between Roman and Seth.
Yeah. That could be cool. I mean, I guess they're trying to get, you know, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. That's a way to get Roman Reigns over. I don't know. I just feel like the whole show is on autopilot. I feel like they're just grabbing at some random ideas. You know when people put up like those idea charts where they just write out everything they're thinking? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They just pulled a bunch of those off the wall and said, let's just do random stuff until Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's – well, until Survivor Series at least. But, man, it's –
I think the Survivor Series is also just a hodgepodge of ideas. I don't think it's going anywhere fast.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, because here's the thing that I think they have the problem with when it comes to what they're doing at Survivor Series. They're putting these teams together to where there's going to be infighting between the teams, you know, and then they got to face, you know, the other brand.
Yeah.
Which is already going to be weird. I got to see what they're going to add this, but man, those elimination matches, they're going to be pretty long. And I don't know if they've done enough really to make you excited about it. I mean, do you care more about Raw or SmackDown? And do you have an allegiance to one of them to see who is going to be the brand that comes out on top come Survivor Series?
Right. I think that's my concern with it. You brought up the whole thing about the brand infighting, right? And so why do we care that they're fighting? Why do we care who wins or loses? There's no bigger stakes at play in Survivor Series. Unless I'm mistaken, is Raw getting an extra draft pick next year? Is SmackDown going to be able to, I don't know, take over the Monday night spot if they win? Like, what's at stake for this pay-per-view?
I don't know. That is the big question that comes out of this. I don't know. I guess it's just bragging rights, but is that really enough?
Yeah.
Like, hey, so we beat you. Ha ha. All right. And then you move on, you know. It's almost as good as, you know, a Curt Hawkins debut. Oh, my
God. I see what you did there.
How about Curt Hawkins, man? Yeah, I'm going to challenge Dolph Ziggler for the IC title. Super kick done.
After all that hype, after all that buildup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, should we have expected anything more?
I would expect more from the SmackDown writing team. You know, I have been fairly impressed with what SmackDown has done over the last few weeks since the brand extension. And so I'm kind of disappointed they've handled Curt Hawkins in this way, because it seemed like they were bringing him back to have some potential. I'm really surprised they wanted to have him kind of job out like that. The same thing with Jinder Mahal, right? You go through this big thing about bringing Jinder Mahal back and saying, yeah, he's a returning superstar and et cetera, and yet you still just put him to the lower card. And I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it as well. Before we get into some other stuff, let's spend a minute here on our good friends over at suplexapparel.com. Michael, you're like me, where we don't mind wearing some wrestling gear, but we want it to look cool. We don't want, how many nerdy wrestling shirts do you have?
I don't buy the nerdy ones. I buy the classy ones that look kind of, I can pair up with some dark jeans. I can put on maybe a blazer with it, try to really class up the wrestling.
See, that's what I'm talking about. And that's what they're doing at suplexapparel.com. When you go there, you've got great looking gear, quality wrestling apparel that you can wear anywhere, anytime, and it looks fantastic. Go check them out. Go to suplexapparel.com. Go to the store. They've got some new winter gear that's up there right now, new seasonal stuff. They've got these flannel shirts that look awesome, like long sleeve, classic red or green flannel shirts. They've got other t-shirts for the team of wrestlers that work with them, including Adam Cole and Angelico, Prince Devitt, Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr. They're all a part of the Suplex team. You can get all these different t-shirts, gear. They've got the new travel rucksacks over there. They've got hats. And it's not just men's gear as well. They've got stuff for men and women. And like I said, they got some new winter apparel that is there as well. Plus some exclusive t-shirts like the Adam Cole Ruling the Industry shirt. They've got some new sweatshirts there as well. It's good looking stuff that you can wear anywhere. I've worn my Suplex t-shirt out there a couple times in public, and people are always asking me about it. It's great looking stuff that you're going to be happy to wear anywhere that you go. So go to suplexapparel.com. You can order the gear there. They ship anywhere worldwide. It's great.
So they'll ship to me here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
They absolutely will.
What if I move to Florida?
Yes, they will ship to you.
What if I decide, you know what? I'm a huge Cubs fan now. I want to live with the team. And I move to Chicago.
They will ship to Chicago.
Okay.
I know. All right. Is blowing your mind.
What if I take a cruise out to that part of the ocean where laws, there are laws and stuff, and there's no laws out there. You can have monkeys fighting. Will they ship to me there?
Yes, they will. They ship anywhere in the world.
Okay.
Anywhere in the world. In the UK. Yes. Canada. Yes. Japan. Yes. Australia. Yes. They ship worldwide.
Okay.
And
you get
great looking gear, like I said. So it's great stuff. It really is. It's great quality looking gear. And they work with a fantastic team of people. So go check them out. Go to suplexapparel.com. Get your great Suplex gear. Create your legacy. If you didn't have enough WWE programming, and you said
I didn't. I just was talking to you about how I don't have enough WWE programming. I watch the network, and then I watch Raw and SmackDown, and then I record Main Event on the weekends, and that show that comes on Saturday morning Slam. I watch reruns of that, and I said, you know what? I really need some more things to watch in my life that are WWE specific.
And now they have just the thing for you.
Oh, finally.
I know, right? So you will be happy to know that WWE is introducing a new show. So on Tuesday nights, Tuesday, November 28th, I believe, the new show, 205 Live, which is a Cruiserweight exclusive show, will be on the WWE Network. November 29th, excuse me. So if you thought, on Raw, on Monday nights, when I watch Raw, I get a good 3 hours of WWE programming. And on Tuesdays, I'm only getting 2 hours of SmackDown. Well, then guess what? Right after SmackDown, pop on the WWE Network and you get an hour of 205 Live watching Cruiserweight action.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are they keeping the Cruiserweights on Raw as well?
Yes, they are. So the Cruiserweights will be on both shows. 205 Live will, in fact, be live. And it will be taking place at the same building as SmackDown, even though the Cruiserweight division is exclusive property of Raw. And if you thought that was weird enough, and I have no problem with this announced team, but if you talk about there's supposed to be this divide between the brands and whatnot, the action for this show will be called by SmackDown announcer Mauro Ranallo and Raw color commentator Corey Graves.
We've discussed, you and I have discussed the virtue of Raw going with the 2 hours numerous times, how 3 hours is too much for Monday nights, how they're filling up the show with just random content to pad it out. I think there's a bigger problem. I think the writing team has some underlying issues with their direction on that show.
Yeah.
I think the cruiserweights have suffered some damage as well as a result. I'm okay with them giving the cruiserweights their own show. That's a good idea. I am not okay with them having the cruiserweights on Raw and then doing a separate show and then rejiggering the schedule in this weird way that kind of, I feel like, undermines some of the merit of the brand extension. And again, did we really need another hour of WWE programming?
Here's the thing that I wonder about, too. Okay, I get it when it comes to cruiserweight style. There's some people that are really, really into it. I enjoy it as well. But we were already at that oversaturation point. And they will say, this is more bang for the buck. You're getting world-class athletes. You're getting cruiserweights. They're getting their own show. They deserve it. And it's more value for when you pay your monthly subscription for the WWE Network. I get that. But I almost wonder if they're throwing so much stuff out there at people. And you sit there and say, there's just too much for me to keep up on it. So I'm not going to keep up with any of it. Or I'm even going to dial back what I watch.
It becomes, you become burnt out. You know, that's the way I feel as a WWE fan and as a pro wrestling fan. I think the things that I like are getting so lost in the shuffle that I don't know that it's worth my time. We talk about talking smack, how cool that's been for SmackDown, how it's given them a unique identity. And it's been a pretty big buzz for WWE and for SmackDown. And then this week they announce Raw Talk, which I'm just like, okay, so you're stealing your good idea from your B show and giving it to your A show. Fine, whatever. And then they're moving SmackDown Live back as a result of this whole cruiserweight thing. It just, you're taking something that works and rejiggering it to have more content. And I just don't like that idea. I wish they would have made the first hour of Raw the cruiserweights exclusively.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the cruiserweight should probably be on SmackDown anyway, but yeah, I totally get where you're coming from there. I mean, that you know what? By doing that, that would solve your Raw problem from a standpoint that it narrows it down to just 2 hours when it comes to, you know, the actual Raw brand itself. That actually, I think, is an interesting idea. I don't know if that would how much that would affect the ratings, but if you did from 8 to 9, you did cruiserweights, then from 9 to 11 was actually Raw. That would be an interesting concept. That I wonder what would happen with that. And it makes sense, too, from the standpoint that, you know, we talk about the cruiserweights are supposed to be exclusive to Raw. Well, they're on Monday night. They're a part of that show, basically.
Yep.
I mean, that's something they could do. But I don't know if USA would be cool with that or not. But, you know, Talking SmackDown is going to be moved back to 11 o'clock, which that's one of the best shows that they have right now with the promos and the things that they do on that show. And, you know, so now you're talking about 3.5 hours on, you know, on Tuesday nights. And then on Mondays, like you said, now they're doing that Raw Talk post show. So, I mean, basically they're trying to kill anybody on the internet that's trying to do a post WWE television show right now.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to corner the market on both the indie scene and the wrestling coverage scene. They basically want to be able to have their people, like they've already done this a few times, right? They reach out to certain people. They have their people who talk positively about their brand. And otherwise, they want to fill up that content with their own stuff. So, you know, what they're really doing, again, is they're hurting themselves, I believe. We're not going to talk about NXT as much now because there's a cruiserweight show that we need to talk about. And there is Talking Smack and there's Raw Talk and there's 6 hours of normal. You know, it's just so much. Nobody can consume it all.
And there's a lot of people that aren't talking about NXT as much. And a lot of that is just because, you know, there's a lot of that talent that got moved up to the main roster. But it definitely is taking the shine off that even a little bit more. There's more things pulling away from that. And it also pulls away from when there's so much WWE stuff, it pulls away from maybe saying, you know what? I like my WWE stuff. I'm only going to commit X amount of time to wrestling. So that means maybe I'm not going to watch Ring of Honor, or I'm not going to watch TNA, or I'm not going to watch whatever group that's out there I like. Or maybe it's going to have some people say, hey, I'm going to limit my WWE and I'm going to focus on, you know, independence or whatever, and just kind of pick and choose my WWE a little bit more careful because there's so much stuff out there. I can't keep up with everything. Or there's that other scenario, like I said, where people just said, there's so much out there. I need to take a step back. You know, I'm not going to watch as much. I'm getting burnt out on this. I mean, there's so many different directions, but I understand trying to get more value, but at the same time, there's only so much money and so much time that people can commit to wrestling. There's going to be some people that are uber fans that will go overboard and they spend all their free time watching wrestling and don't mind, you know, spending whatever amount of money. And that's great if that's what you want to do. But there's a lot more people that are going to be in the boat that say, hey, I only want to spend X amount of money per month, and I only have X amount of time per week that I want to devote right. towards wrestling. And it's becoming tougher to keep up with everything WWE has. Yes, you can make choices, and they'll probably even tell you that. Like, make choices. But there's just so much stuff that's out there that it's hard to disseminate what you actually want to watch, what you want to keep up on, and what you think is going to be good.
And I think to a certain point, my big concern with it all is everything starts feeling the same. It starts losing its identity. It's somewhat like what the problem that the NFL has right now. All of the games just start feeling the same, and fans just start tuning out yep. because nothing feels special. You know why baseball beat football Sunday night? Because this was a special matchup. This was a special series. It wasn't just baseball. It wasn't just the World Series. It was the Cubs playing for something, playing for history. And that had a unique feel to it. So more content is not better than, does not equal quality of content.
Right. I mean, and that's why, you know, we'll go back to even something like Lesnar Goldberg. You can build that up. You can make it into something special that people are going to watch. You know, that's the kind of environment we're in right now. We're in a big show, big matchup kind of environment. That's what people mm-hmm. go out of the way for. And they're more than happy to pay for, you know, but when you're getting stuff, so much stuff thrown at you on a regular basis, and if it's not stuff that you'd like, if it's not up to a certain standard, you know, we talk about the NFL. Yes, it's the NFL. It's the Shield. It's still the most popular sport in the United States. But the interest is down this year, and there's a variety of reasons for that. I think one of the biggest reasons is the gameplay has just been mediocre this mm-hmm. year. And, I mean, there's only one or two teams that you sit there and say they're outstanding, but even their how outstanding they are isn't in a dominating fashion. You know, the NFL would love mediocrity. They'd love that. And to me, that is not something that excites me. I know some people aren't excited by dynasties in sports. I think greatness is something that people will fawn over from a standpoint. Yeah. You either want to watch it because you like seeing greatness played out, and also you want to see greatness disrupted. You want mm-hmm. to root for the underdog, and you want to see the great team get upset because it's just better natural storylines. I mean, look at what happened last year in the NBA.
Yep.
The Golden State Warriors. Holy crap, what a juggernaut. They go out there, they break mm-hmm. the NBA regular season record. They win 73 games. They go in the playoffs, playing LeBron James. They were up 3-1 in the finals, and then they lost 3 straight, and the yep. Cavs won the championship. Well, that's one hell of a story. And then look at this year with Golden State. My God, they added Kevin Durant. So people are going nuts, like, you know, this Uber team, you know, and the season just started, and now that the baseball season is over and the World Series is done with, I think you're going to see the NBA ratings rise, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of following this Golden State team gets. Is it going to be something where people maybe say, hey, you know what? It is what it is. I'm not as excited about it because it was last year. Or is it going to be, man, I got to watch this team because look at all the stars and studs that they got in there, and this is damn intriguing. And I think it's going to be more of the latter.
Well, there's another piece to it too, right? And that is, not only do the stories happen in the sports, and these intriguing plot lines, you have to have the right people to pull the threads together, right? There's got to be commentators and people come out there and say, this is what I think is really interesting about the NBA. These are the things that you should watch for, and you get people to tune in. And there's not that conversation happening around wrestling, partially because there's no oxygen in the room for it to happen, because the entirety of wrestling is being taken up by these long shows and these kind of, I'm going to say, watered down storytelling. And so there's no room for the great commentary, the articles to come out to say, you should watch this. You know, ESPN does a lot to promote the sports that are on its network, and it does that with great analysts. But when the fans are busy watching the sport and getting burnt out on it, then the analysts have no room to breathe. So there's a reason the NFL, right? It has a few games on during the week, but it is a Sunday afternoon event. So WWE, I think, is just stretching itself too thin.
All right. Before we get out of here.
TNA is stretching itself too thin as well, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about TNA. Okay. One hell of a week again for TNA. Let me tell you.
Hell of a week, man. They've been woo.
They're on fire right now. yeah. Hell, we might want to. They wish they were on fire at this point. It's a fire burning something. So they go to court on Monday, or the judge rules in the case and basically says, hey, guess what? I don't see anything at fault. You know, I see both sides of the argument, but I can't see one or the other. When it comes to, she can't really back Pilly Corgan's argument. So she said, no more temporary injunction. You can't take over the shares of the company. So basically the way that it was, that's the way that it is. And that meant Dixie Carter and other people in TNA management could go forward with their plan, which is basically to take the money that was given to them as a loan from Anthem Entertainment, which owns the Fight Network, and they could put that towards creditors and whatnot. Put that towards costs going forward. It's not even creditors, quite honestly. They could put it towards operation costs. Now, Billy Corgan was still owed his $1.8 million plus interest on November 1st, which was Tuesday. And the courts told him he's owed this money. Now, there is some kind of argument about the amount of money owed, because TNA will say, okay, you're owed your $1.8 million, and that's the amount we believe it is, plus 6% interest, which makes it basically $1.9 million. And Billy Corgan says, no, I'm owed a 50% fee off the money invested, so I'm owed $2.7 million. Well, anyway, that ruling came down. We were wondering if Corgan has been paid, and now we know the answer. According to Billy, the answer's no. He's not been paid yet. Now, Anthem Sports did put out a press release today and said that Anthem Sports and Entertainment and Impact Ventures announced a credit relationship. This is an interesting one, okay? Now, mind you, I don't know who's writing these press releases. I don't know if it's Dixie Carter or if it's the new people from Aerolux and Anthem Sports. But they need to work on these things, man. And there was something, I mean, they put something in here that just really stood out. And you're like, why would you do that? First and foremost, I don't understand why they have to put out a press release. But if they need to do this for transparency and whatnot, or just to show, hey, we're moving forward, okay, fine. And they want to announce that Anthem Executive Vice President Ed Nordholm, he's on the Impact Ventures Board of Managers now. Okay, fine. That's fine. And they're talking about how they're going to be providing a credit facility to TNA to fund operations. But as they sit there and they talk about their board of managers and whatnot, they throw in the line of Billy Corgan is no longer with the company. Okay. Now, Billy Corgan has not been paid and he's still talking about filing a lawsuit. So Billy goes on Twitter today and says this: fact, TNA was supposed to pay me 2 days ago, which they swore to in front of a judge. Yesterday, they asked for a day to, quote, get money together, unquote. Upon which, yesterday or today, they'd, quote, reach out directly, unquote, to settle all claims. So they lied again and have used the time as a weapon. Fact, I have still not been paid, and I'm exploring all remedies, including new filings with court and converting to 36% equity, which is quite the threat. So now he's saying, oh, you don't like this? Well, what if I, instead of taking the money, I'll take 36% of the company, which is exactly what TNA does not want to do.
Right.
So here's what Fight Network said in response to that. We reject Mr. Corrigan's social media comments today regarding Impact Wrestling. The matter is before courts/public discourse is inappropriate. There is a solid financial plan for Impact Wrestling, and Mr. Corrigan's loan will be dealt with appropriately. Now, mind you, I thought appropriately was supposed to be on November 1st. Billy has since come back and said, terrible way to start our future relationship. What with the lying through counsel and propensity for press releases claiming victory. So when you send out the press release today and one during the lawsuit, which is still pending, FYI, that's not public discourse. Tisk. and the use of reject in your tweet? Such strong language from Network of Fights. So Billy, at this point, is like, I'm not going down without a fight. I still have a lawsuit against you. I can make that ugly. I'll spend the money. I'll tie you up in court. And I can't believe that they are doing this fighting publicly. I'm like, it's already gotten ugly, but it's just like, you can blame Billy, but really from the other side, and you're talking about this business entity, and they're trying to go forward and say, hey, we're a good business, and you're getting into a public argument like this?
It's very petty.
Take the high road. I mean, if Billy wants to do this, fine, let him look bad. But they're not doing that in the least.
Yeah, it's so petty, and it is indicative of the worst of professional wrestling. First off, bad business practices on TNA's part, a new company coming in, and still kind of playing this weird hardball in a public manner with an individual. None of it's okay. It looks bad. It looks bad for the whole industry, but especially for TNA. And, you know, I think that it does seem like Billy Corgan has some legs to stand on here. So I wish they would take this private. If TNA has any chance of wanting to turn out of this spiral and become something decent again, they just need to put this behind them in the most positive, proactive way as possible. And to your point, fighting publicly is not the way to do that. Now, I guess where I really struggle with this is it seems like Dixie Carter is in as much control as she's ever been. And I don't know about you, but that really concerns me.
I don't think she has any power. I think she just has a title. Maybe she's giving advice about some things, but it sure sounds like it's Anthem and to some extent Aerolux. I believe Aerolux is what's his name? Jason Brown is the CEO of the company of Impact Ventures. So she'll have a very limited role. I don't think she's gonna have a say in anything, but she's still attached to it. But regardless if she does or not, the same mistakes that were happening before are still happening under new ownership. And it's like who's going to learn? I mean, this looks horrible. I mean, there's already some people within the company that are pissed that it looks like Billy is going to be out. You know, they were allies with him, and now he's gone. You don't know what's coming with this new ownership, what's happening with the company. It sure seems like it's going to be okay and it's going to go forward, but they still got massive amounts of debt. They could change their taping schedule. There's thoughts that there's going to be some people in the front office that could be losing their position. So, I mean, there's still going to be some turnover here, and you don't know what's going on. There's going to be some people that say, hey, you know what? As long as I get my check on time, I'm okay. I'm cool with it. But there's going to be some other people that say, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't like this as much, or, hey, my contract's coming up. Maybe I need to look at some other possibilities. Yeah. Not saying that they necessarily leave, but things like this, when you see something going on new with the company and you don't know necessarily where it stands, unless you are convinced and given a lot of information that makes you feel a lot better about it, makes you possibly second guess if you want to stay there and open up possibilities of leaving.
Yeah, I think it's bad business, and it dissuades talent, to your point.
It's a freaking mess, man. Come on, TNA. Get your act together.
There you go. There you go.
Dear
Tell
God.
Them like it is, Brian.
I mean, come on, man. Do you have to act like a bunch of dumb children in this thing? You know, take the high road, get your act together, and move forward. Oh, by the way, here's another thing. How about you pay your debts? That would help, because you look like a bunch of ass clowns in court because all your freaking debt came out. And guess what? We probably don't even know the totality of the extent of your debt. I mean, we already know, you owe Billy money. You owe your old production company money. Aerolux is owed money, but that's why they have a stake in the company of 10%. There's a sound company that's owed money. It looks like there's a merchandise company that's owed money. The state of Tennessee has a lien against your company because you haven't paid your taxes, which they tried to say is just a misstep in their accounting, which is quite the thing there. I mean, come on, man. This is ridiculous.
Yep.
If people want to say, oh, we're just picking on TNA, they deserve to be picked on.
Yes, they do. They have gotten themselves into all of these messes through a variety of factors. And you know what? Maybe it's time somebody paid the Pied Piper, you know?
And it's not about the talent, because the talent goes out there and they bust their ass. And I give a lot of credit to those guys, considering all the turmoil that's been going on in that company. And they still go out there and they do their job.
They do their job, and not only that, they're committed to this company, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, like they believe in it.
There are people that do, man, and it's good for them, man. They believe in themselves. They believe in the other talent out there, and they're trying to do the best they can. I mean, there's some people that are definitely disappointed by what's going on, especially Billy Corgan out of the company, or at least looks like he's out. But, I mean, Mike Bennett's the only one that really came out publicly, him and Maria. Mike Bennett was like, here we go, you know, same old thing. I mean, his contract's coming up, and I really have to question if he's going to continue there. Maria came out, and the timing of this was, you know, fantastic, where she said, hey, I don't plan on being in wrestling for a long time. She's like, I'm going to graduate, and then I'm going to master's school. I'm going to get a master's degree. So her time in wrestling might not be that much longer. I wonder about Mike Bennett continuing with the company come, 2017. And there's some other guys whose contracts are coming up. It would be either at the end of the year or after that. I don't know how hard of a look they might take at, you know, looking elsewhere, but I'm sure they're doing that. I'm sure they'd be doing that no matter what, even though the turmoil wasn't going on. But this can't help the cause of TNA.
Yeah.
And I think the people there have to do a hell of a job of laying out an argument and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make sure you're paid on time. Here's our plan going forward. We're going to give you contracts that are going to be beneficial for you. And by that, I mean, they need to give them a lot of leeway and a lot of freedom to go work elsewhere to along with their TNA contract. And make
they
work.
They can't lock down talent like WWE does because no. WWE has a whole pipeline and a system of security that TNA is just not offering.
They need to provide some positivity to convince people to say, hey, we're moving forward. You are part of this and we're still going to make this work and you're going to enjoy working here and we want to have you. Yep. And easier said than done right now. Last thing before we get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So were you among some of the many people that, again, this year said Undertaker is done? You know, he didn't go on the European tour following WrestleMania. There was belief that he was telling people that he was going to retire. And
I never said he was done. I said I hope he isn't done because I hope his last match is not against Shane McMahon.
Just asking. I could remember if you were one of the people that said, because every year this comes up, and this has been going on for like a decade, where people say, well, that's it for Taker. He's done. Well, guess what? The Undertaker is coming back.
Brock Lesnar? He's going to fight Brock Lesnar?
I don't know if he's going to fight Brock Lesnar again. So it's funny because just a couple of weeks ago, we saw these pictures of Taker, like in fan photos, you know, walking around with a cane. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, the dead man in full costume is at the Cleveland Cavaliers opener, you know, backstage meeting some of the players because they're big Undertaker fans. And he looked fine. I mean, he looked great. He was walking around. He's got the full outfit on. Dude's sporting a tan. He looks like he's been working out. He looks great. Well, he's coming back to SmackDown.
What?
That's right.
What? He's gonna wrestle in SmackDown? He's, but he's going to have that Canes and Walkers match with Goldberg.
That's... Yeah. Well, it didn't say he's going to wrestle, but he will be on SmackDown November 15th, which is the 900th episode of SmackDown, and will be at the Mohegan Sun in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Huh.
Yep, and it says, The Undertaker has long been a cornerstone of Team Blue, and his emergence on this special episode of SmackDown Live is undoubtedly linked to the Phenom's storied history with the brand. This marks The Undertaker's first appearance in a WWE ring since he defeated SmackDown Live commissioner Shane McMahon inside Hell in a Cell. So whatever the dead man has planned, mere days before Raw and SmackDown Live collide at Survivor Series, you don't want to miss it. So here's a couple of things. So he's going to be on that show. I'm sure he's going to have a little conversation in the ring with Shane McMahon.
Yep.
I wonder if maybe he gets added to one of these teams for Survivor Series. And with him being on SmackDown, it really makes me wonder if not only will he be at WrestleMania, but he will be facing one of the faces of SmackDown, not the face that runs the place, but instead John Cena.
What? So run that by me one more time. Give me that theory again. I just want to hear you say it again.
Okay. Taker is on SmackDown.
Yes, right. So of course. He's going to talk to Shane.
He's going to talk to Shane.
Bygones.
Maybe
right.
He'll be a member of one of the teams for Survivor Series. And right. He could also get back in the ring come WrestleMania
and face
fellow SmackDown Live performer John Cena. Dream match at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
I think that's the theory. I think that's the. Yep. I think it could happen. It could happen.
I'm just setting it up, man. That's what I do.
Send it in, Jerome.
Set it
up. I do wonder if he's ready. Ready to wrestle again?
Yeah, I mean, just because he was walking around without a cane and he looked really good doesn't necessarily mean anything. And there was a lot of talk that, you know, he was telling some people, and maybe it was just frustration, or I don't even know if it's a fact, that after Mania, the belief was that maybe he was done. But he reportedly had hip surgery, and I don't know the extent of that. I don't even know if it was like shaving off bone spurs, or did he have hip replacement, which I don't think it went that far necessarily, but... He looked good at the Cavs thing, but, I mean, how much walking around did we see? And walking around and taking bumps in a wrestling ring is totally different. But, you know, we have this argument every year. We wonder every year, is he going to continue wrestling? And, you know, if he's up for it, I'm sure WWE would love to have him.
Yeah, I could see him coming in as some kind of maybe figurehead role to come in for a little bit here and there, to hold him over to WrestleMania. Not to say he's going to be a manager, general manager or whatever, but just some kind of support role. It doesn't mean he doesn't wrestle much, but is around the ring. I don't know. I think it's conspicuous. I would be surprised if he wrestles a Survivor Series, but, you know.
Yeah, I would too, but, I mean, I will say this, though. If he did wrestle at Survivor Series, he would have to do very, very little.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And that's why I wonder if they would put him in there. And I know it's elimination style match, but it would limit the amount of physicality he would have to do. You know, he wouldn't have to be in the ring that much. And I mean, he probably doesn't even have to take a single bump.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just a thought. You know,
I mean, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair had a match about 3 years ago. So 4 years ago, oh, 5 years ago. Speaking of Hulk Hogan.
I think the Hulkster's coming back to WWE.
Yeah, man, he's finished power slamming Gawker Media. What's he got left to do?
Yeah, so he settled his lawsuit with Gawker because it was going to appeals court, and he was just like, that's it. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And he knew he wasn't going to get $140 million out of it, even though that's what the jury awarded him in the case. And it might have been a lot less when it came down to the appeals process. So he settled for $31 million, which is not a bad chunk of change. Nope. And I think this is just yet another step forward in putting this lawsuit behind him, leaving enough space between sex tape and the racial comments and everything that's going on to where it opens the door to a potential WWE return. I'm not saying in the ring, but just a return to the family. And I will once again say, I think he's going to be appearing at WrestleMania.
Okay. I think there's been enough time. I think it could happen. I think Hulk Hogan was excommunicated from the history books, but where we are now, giving it some space and some time, I think it's a likely story. I think WrestleMania is a good target for them to bring him back by.
Yeah, and I think WWE would love to have him back. I mean, there's so many different things they could do with him for the network. I wouldn't have him on TV all that often. He's a very, very special attraction.
Sure.
Every now and then, maybe he can make an appearance for you, whether it's on television or he signs some autographs or even a corporate thing or whatever. I mean, Hulk Hogan is still a big name. People freak out for Hulk Hogan, and rightfully so. You know, just he wants to be there. I mean, he desperately wants to be part of this family. I mean, it's his livelihood. It's what he knows. And I think they would be more than happy to have him back. I think there's been enough time, or at least by WrestleMania, I think there will be enough time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not going to happen. I think it's going to happen sooner or later. Maybe it's a year after WrestleMania. I don't know. WrestleMania in Florida makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah, I agree. His own backyard.
Makes a lot of sense. You don't
in your backyard. You guys share a backyard, don't you?
Well, he's in Tampa, and I'm in Orlando, but we're close enough. You know, me and the Hulkster, you know, we're tight.
He's got Hogan's Beach down there. Remember, we were going to go to it, but they wanted like $50 for valet parking.
And now they're closed. So we'll never get to go.
Shucks.
We will never get to go.
Missed opportunity.
I'm sure if we go down to Tampa, if we go down on the coast there, I'm sure we could run into the Hulkster on the beach sometime.
Let's do it. Let's go running down the beach, Baywatch style, and see if we can find
I was thinking more Rocky and Apollo style. Knee-high socks.
Yep, I got those. And then, right now.
The big hug in the water at the end?
You and I have already done that before. So that's true.
We did. Why repeat that, right?
Right. Let it be, man. It was a special moment in time.
Why repeat that? And speaking of a special moment in time, the Cubs won the World Series! Woo!
Oh, man.
Special. I've already ordered a bunch of gear.
Are you celebrating more tonight?
I should, but I think I'm going to collapse because my body is really starting to wear down at this point.
Bob, you need to get cake. You need to get a Cubs cake.
Ooh.
Drink some beer, get some cake. This is wear the gear.
I like it. Uh-huh. I did order three t-shirts and a banner, so far. And I'm sure there's going to be more stuff coming.
A banner? Explain this banner to me.
Well, you know how they raise a banner, you know, when you win a championship.
Oh, so like you got your own replica banner.
Yes.
Like, is it the same size? Is it huge?
Yes.
What is it really?
I think it's pretty big. I don't think it's like gigantic. Like, it's not one of those that they hang from the rafters.
Oh, but it's like one of the ones they draw. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's pretty big. I mean, it's not like whatever those things are. What is that, like freaking, you know, 10 feet by 12 feet or whatever? It's
24 by 38. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So it's like a huge poster.
Yeah, okay.
Which,
that's not too bad.
I'm like,
movie posters are 27 by 40, so that's not terrible.
Like, I saw the banner, I was like, you know, you get that mode, and you're just like, I don't care how much money I'm spending, man. Yep, that looks good. Yep, I want that. Uh-huh, sure. Throw it on there. Tag it on. So, yeah, I just ordered a bunch of stuff. Except I live here in Florida, so there's no point in me getting sweatshirts, really, or else I would have gotten one of those.
Yeah, hats and t-shirts are about all you need, right?
I wanted to get a hat, but the problem was it's a fitted cap, and I'm not sure exactly what size I wear because, I got a weird-shaped head, I guess. So I wasn't exactly sure what size to get, so I haven't gotten a hat.
Got a big head anyway, huh?
Not that big, just, I don't know. I got a weirdly-shaped head. I can't tell if I'm like a... If I'm a 7 1/8 or a 7 1/4, you know, so it's, I got to go to a hat store and get my head measured or something. I don't know. Do they do that? Kind of like they measure your feet?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they can do it if you go to like a Lids or whatever they are.
Yeah, I need to go to a tailor. Anybody got a tailor out there?
A hat tailor?
Yeah, it's like, don't measure my chest or my inseam. Can you just measure my head?
Oh, man.
I need to know. I need to get a good fitted hat. So. Once again, anybody that's there in Chicago, give me some copies of the Chicago Tribune, especially the special edition. That'd be fantastic. Just hit me up. So always appreciate the time, Michael.
Oh, yeah, man. Of course. Anytime. Follow me on Twitter if you haven't already, Brian, at The Real Wiseman.
Yes, I do follow you.
Yeah, I know you do.
It's pretty amazing. I like it.
You should tweet me some more.
I should. You like to tease me on there, which is fine.
I have smart things to say. You need to go unfollow that or unblock that guy.
Unblock him.
Good. Okay.
I did.
Nick,
yeah.
His name was Nick.
I don't even know if you realize this. I unblocked you. And like I said, good things happen when I'm in a great mood. I am in just this unbelievable mood with the Cubs winning the World Series where people can ask me for favors. I'll probably say yes, including unblocking people that annoyed me.
Okay.
I got some favors.
I got to ask you some favors. I don't know what they are, though. But
I'm not going to name names, but there is one particular person that was kind of being a prick to me during Game 7 of the World Series. Thought he was having some fun playing around with me, and I did not appreciate that. Those messages got quickly deleted, and they were on the old Facebook Messenger, and I only saw the beginning of them. I deleted them so I can't access them, and just so you know, I'm not very happy with you right now.
Is it somebody I know?
It is somebody you know.
Is it Scotty Fishman?
No, but you're close.
Okay, it's not Scotty Fishman.
Scott would not do that.
That's true. He's too nice. It's not his MO.
He would not do that.
Am I close physically or close conceptually? Was it?
I will tell you off the air. I'm not going to name him on the air yet. That might be coming, though. That might be coming, man. Right. That pissed me off.
So, are we starting a rivalry with another podcast?
This is going to be like West Side Story coming up here, okay?
Are you going to the Victory Parade on Monday?
The Victory Parade is actually on Friday, and no, I will not be able to attend with the 3 to 4 million people that will be there. But they are airing the entirety of it on WGN.
Oh, there you go.
So I'll be watching the victory parade come Friday. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We always appreciate it. And thanks for putting up with me talking about the Cubs. Nice little snort there, Michael. I appreciate that too, buddy. Everybody, please download the podcast. You can get it on iTunes or on Stitcher. Rate and review the podcast. You can also find us on SoundCloud, and we are also on the TuneIn app and on Google Play as well. So plenty of places that you can find the Between the Ropes podcast. You can listen to us. Please give us the feedback. You can find Michael on Twitter again. It's at The Real Wiseman.
Mm-hmm.
I am at Brian Fritz. Or you can just also hit us up at Between the Ropes, and we will always appreciate any kind of feedback from everybody. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.